One of the ways in which the Scriptures teach us is through the study of characters. And we know we have a lot of characters here. When we, just wild guess, when we study the lives of any incidents in other people's lives, and certain people in the Bible, we learn from their experiences as they become examples to us. And when we look at certain characters, we might see ourselves as that person. Or, on the other hand, we might learn from their mistakes or the wisdom of the people that we study. In the Bible, we see that God uses imperfect people. People who make themselves available to God so that we can learn. So tonight, I'd like to take a look at just one character. Of course, that character is in my favorite book. You guys know the book of Job. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you, Father, for the many blessings we have here, Father. Father, as we basked in warmth these last couple of weeks and the rest of the country froze, and Father, now with the devastation in Haiti, Father, and yet we are safe here at home. Father, we just have compassion on those people, Father, and we just pray that you would be with them, Father. And that those who can would step up and help where you want them, Father. We pray, Father, that you would get the glory in all that they do. Father, we lift up our brother Merrill, Father, as he's fighting these fires south of us here, Father. And we just pray you be with him. Keep him and his crew safe and be with him. And Father, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to learn what it is you have for us this evening, Father. We just thank you so much for who you are and what you do for us, Father. And may you get the glory in what we do for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take a look at this character, Elihu. In Job Chapter 32. So what do we know about Elihu? First of all, we know he is young. Just how young, we don't know. But he was years young, as in 34, verse 4, 32, wrong page I'm on, see there? Verse 4 says, now because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. And by years younger, we know that he's years younger than Job's other three counselors, friends, as we might say here, of Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. So one thing we see here is that God uses young people as well as old. Another thing we can see about Elihu is he is angry. Verse 1. So these three men ceased answering Job. That's, of course, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Because he was righteous in his own eyes. Or this is what they noticed. When the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachtel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job, his wrath was aroused because He justified himself rather than God. Also, against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. No, anger is not necessarily a bad thing. In Matthew 21, Jesus turned over the tables in the temple. He was angry because they were making his father's house a den of thieves. But the key to it was Jesus had self-control. For as it says in Ephesians 4 and Psalm 4, be angry and do not sin. Another thing we see about Elihu is that he was mad at Job's friends. In verse 5, he says, when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. So Elihu, the son of Barachtel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dare not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and a multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Boy, that sounds like a great way to make friends. You're very old. Sounds familiar. Some people tell me that, you know. But anyway, especially my grandkids. And he also tells them, just because you're old, you're not so smart. So I'm sure he made some good friends that day. So he was also mad at them because they could not answer Job and convince him. And yet, they judged and convicted him already. Another thing we find here in his following dissertation is he doesn't say anything new to Job. Elihu's problem. He tells Job why he should listen to him. Go to the next chapter, chapter 33, verse 1, it says, but please, Job, hear my speech and listen to my words. Now I open my mouth, my tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. So, for truly, I am as your spokesman before God. First thing he does, he kind of toots his own horn here, doesn't he? And once you're a sign of the lack of wisdom, is to claim it, which he did right there in verse 3, where he said, my words come from my upright heart. So he's claiming he is righteous. And he condemns Job for claiming righteousness. Verse 8, surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your words, saying, I am pure without transgression, I am innocent, and there is no iniquity in me. Yet he finds occasions against me. He counts me as his enemy, and he puts my feet in the stocks. He watches my path. He says the same thing about himself, and yet he condemns Job for it. But the big difference here is Job is sick, and he is not. How easily we judge. We think things are right with God when things are going good. But It is only the grace of God which abounds abundantly. Romans 5:20 says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Elihu claims that Job is being chastened by God. Verse 18, he keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed. And with strong pain in many of his bones. So it is like that his life abhors bread and his soul succulent food. His flesh wastes away from sight and his bones stick out which once were not seen. Yes, his soul draws near to the pit and his life to the executioners. This is the same thing that Job's other friend said. So after all that Elihu said, we realize it's nothing but hot air. Though sometimes we really are chastened by God, and we need to ask God to reveal to us the reason. So keep you a marker there in Job, and let's go over to Hebrews. In chapter 12, there's your favorite sound, you know, pages turning. Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Well, these friends of Job, they didn't realize that one can suffer even if sin is not involved. It does happen. So Elihu had three main points that he brought up, that he wanted. The first is, back in Job, chapter 34, verse 11. For he repays man according to his work, and makes man to find a reward according to his way. In other words, he's saying God is just. Now this is a true statement. But Elihu did not have all the facts about Job. We're often like Elihu. We give our opinion without knowing all the facts, and we make judgments on what we think we know.
That's stupidly arrested.
Now, Elihu, he says, Job is self-righteous. In 34, verse 5, for Job has said, I am righteous, but God has taken away my justice. Well, Eliyahu speaks of self-righteousness, and lo and behold, that's one of his problems. For this very reason, what did Jesus have to say about that? So again, keep your marker there, and let's go to Matthew. Chapter 7. We all know this story. Verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, or condemn not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at a speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So what's he saying? Get your act together. And then the third thing, a point that Eli makes is, he speaks for God, back to Job. Because in 33:6 he even said that. Truly I am your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of the clay. Speaking for God is a very dangerous position, and one you shouldn't take. For Eliyahu went on in his discourse through all of chapter 36 and 37, which I would recommend you read on your own. Take the time to read it, and you can see the discourse he went through. But one thing we learn from this is God does not need anyone to speak for him. As we can see in chapter 38, in verse 2, is God speaking. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. You know, it's a dangerous thing to speak for God, and especially to be wrong. Though the thing is, we're all tempted to do this at one time or another. It's true. So you should ask yourself, have you ever had someone come to you and told you something that they said, well, God had spoken to me concerning the situation in your life, and then they turned out to be wrong? Yeah. On the other hand, have you ever found yourself telling someone that God spoke to you about something in their life, which they might have been seeking an answer for? In any of these cases, did you apply the principle that Jesus spoke about concerning making judgment on your brothers and sisters? You know, get the plank out of the way. You know, many times we find ourselves giving advice to people and telling them what is wrong with them without really knowing all the facts. We may also find ourselves arguing, just like Elihu, and telling each other what we believe that God is speaking to them about. We do have a tendency to judge others without us first taking a good look at our own walk with Christ. You know, we have to be very careful that we do not find ourselves giving people advice, telling them that God spoke to you, to me, about your problem. Remember, God does not need anyone to speak for him. But we must also remember that this does not mean that we are not to concern ourselves with each other. The Bible says that by their fruits you will know them. But then again, this does not mean you are an official fruit inspector. We must not get involved in arguments with each other as we try to prove our point. But rather, it is our responsibility to read and study so that we can hear directly from God ourselves. We have to learn to study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of God. As Paul told Timothy, let's go over there in Timothy, 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, in verse 14. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he had told him a few things, and he wanted to 2:14. As Paul said to Timothy, remind them, the people, that these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Because that does happen. We get to arguing about a point and somebody outside hears it, and it just messes them all up too. What are they thinking? So there's no profit to the ruin of the hearers. It's to be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then in verse 24, skip down to 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God will perhaps grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. So when we turn to the Scriptures, we give God the opportunity to speak directly to us so that we need not have someone else speak for God. We can let God speak for Himself. Especially when we're looking for answers to our life's problems. Just one more verse. In this verse is one I believe we should not only memorize, and I think we should meditate on it. It's a short verse. Should write it down and remember it. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Father. I just pray, Father, that we would take this message to our hearts and that we would just learn to be more loving, Father. For more is caught with love than with argument, Father. And Father, we thank you for this time. We just ask that you be with us now as we take some time to pray for our brothers and sisters and just to have fellowship. For in your name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.